too.
Okay, thanks for your patience. I was entering a couple of appointments in my calendar, and I needed to finish that because if they're not in my calendar, I won't show up for the appointment. So I needed to get them in there while they were fresh in my mind. So, hey everyone, happy Sunday. Actually, Cheryl, it was your appointment that I was entering in the calendar. The phone call I have with you, that's what I was entering into the calendar. So I didn't want to stand you up. as I said, happy Sunday. We are here for the 7 steps to awakening. And tonight we are going to begin on number 202. So I will give you that link. That number had a meaning in my life for many years where I can't even say number 202 without remembering it. But in when I was in the Air Force, you know, all jobs have a number code. And so when people ask you, you know, what are you, you know, they don't look for the job title, they look for the code. And I was a 202. That was my job code. The title was radio communications analyst, but I was a 202. So that's what that number reminds me of, is those days. But as I mentioned, tonight we're going to start on quote number 202. Of course, before we do that, we want to go in and have a bit of silence. So why don't we go ahead and take our silence now? Amen. All right, then. I'll go ahead and post the link again. And what I will do is read number 202 from the book, The 7 Steps to Awakening. If you happen to have this book as well, we're on page 45. And the quotes are coming from someone named Sri Sankara. And here is the first quote. There is no such thing as ignorance beyond the thinking mind. Thought itself is ignorance, the cause of the bondage of becoming. When thought is eliminated, everything else is eliminated. When thought increases, everything else increases. So that is the quote. And we're going to be reading from my journal next. Of course, I've put a link in the room for those of you who are here in Pal Talk. But if you're on the radio, you'll want to go to RDA7. That is the digit 7. It is not spelled out. RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. Again, RDA7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. At the top on the menu bar, you'll want to choose step 1 and then click on the number series that will allow you to find your way to number 202. And that's where I'm going to begin reading now. Before I do that, I'll just read the quote one more time. There is no such thing as ignorance beyond the thinking mind. Thought itself is ignorance, the cause of the bondage of becoming. When thought is eliminated, everything else is eliminated. When thought increases, everything else increases. All right, so let's read from the journal. Number 202. Oh, there's an advertisement on the journal. I wonder where that came from. We'll have to look into that later. Do you guys see it? It says something about live and exotic. I wouldn't click on that if I was you. I have no idea what that is. So we'll look into that later. let's just read the quote. The script of the world, the personal story, karma, arises because of thought believed and entertained. Again, the script of the world, the personal story, karma, arises because of thought believed and entertained. This process creates a mind fog called illusion. It is self-sustaining, since its story generates thought, and thought generates its story. It is also self-proving. One is not free of illusion if one is not free of thought. The self-proving phenomena may create a story that looks like freedom, but it is still the illusion of mind fog. Freedom is beyond thought, and therefore beyond all mind fog. Do not settle for a better story. Story is not reality, and reality is not story. This can be understood in a lot of ways. In fact, one thing it reminds me of is today's course workbook lesson, number 140. In today's workbook lesson, it really talks very clearly about the fact that there isn't really a difference between what we might call a sick body and a healthy body. There really isn't a difference at all, because both are illusion, and that a healthy body is not the same thing as a healed mind. So, you know, someone who suffers from some particular ailment may be on the spiritual path in order to really find a spiritual cure or healing for that ailment. You know, maybe there have been many things tried in, you know, in medicine, and nothing ever worked, and somehow this person got the idea that spirituality would help, and so they're here to get this thing healed. And maybe through some situation, it does become healed. Well, what this particular quote would then say is, don't settle for that. That healing of your body, even though it was something you desired very much, and you went through a lot to achieve that, but that healing of your body is still nothing, because you're still dreaming. You still don't know who you are. You are not in reality. Do not settle for that. One thing that has occurred for me is that I have become very happy. I mean, I'm just happy. I don't know how else to say that. I saw the other day somebody posted in Facebook. She said, I have not achieved enlightenment, but I have achieved happiness. And I thought, that's right where I am. I mean, I could have posted that, you know. I have not achieved enlightenment, but I have achieved happiness. And I would be less than honest if I told you that I hadn't seen the thought that kind of told me, that I can settle down now. That I can, by that I mean that I can, I don't need to spend time following inner guidance anymore. I don't need to, sit down in the morning with the seven steps and contemplate quotes, because the truth is I'm happy now. And it is true, I'm happy now. But in a way, I realize that happiness, although I love it, just like I'm sure the person who might be sick all their life and then gets a healthy body loves that healthy body. The truth is, there's still this knowing that this is not awakeness. This is not, last week I think it was, I told you that I started on this path because I wanted to find truth, right? This is still not truth. It's wonderful, but it's still not truth. And so this is saying, again, don't settle for a better story, a happy story, or a healthy story, or, don't let that slow you down on this path of awakening just because things are getting better. It's kind of funny, but it's true that as things seem to be getting better, our focus that might have been there in the beginning can begin to fall away, especially if the reason we were focused in the first place is because we were suffering in some way and we wanted the suffering to end. But I think that's one thing that was so important about the teaching that I did last Sunday, important for me, I mean, is that last Sunday during my teaching, I was reminded that I didn't really start this path to end any kind of suffering. I didn't really start this path to become happy. I started this path to find truth, right? No matter what it was, to find truth. And so things have gotten better. But I still want to continue on this path. So I still really enjoy very much sitting down and taking my time with the seven steps in the morning or whatever it is that I'm currently feeling guided to do. This morning I made a post that actually came out of this morning's seven steps work, which I thought was a pretty good post. It spoke to me, that's why I posted it. And the post said something about, let me see if I can remember it. I guess I need to grab my notebook. I remember the thought of it much more than I remember the words of it. Oh, yes, I remember now. So the post was about the fact that we're not here to change beliefs. So it's not that we believed the world is real, and then we read in A Course in Miracles or some other book, or we hear from a teacher that it's not, and so then we believe the world is not real. That's not really the answer, and in fact, that can get you into an awful lot of trouble, a whole different kind of denial by changing beliefs like that. Hold on. Jamie, let's not chew off our toenails, okay? Not a good idea. Leave your toenails on your foot. Jamie, no. Okay, come here. Yeah, don't do that, okay? It's not a good idea. You'll end up with a bloody foot. Mwah, I love you. I love you. Okay, getting licks in the face now. Hold on. Okay, now go lay down. I love you. Go lay down. Bye. All right. So we're not here to trade beliefs. What we're here to do is to question beliefs. Because it really is, we'll hear the words say, this is a path of questioning beliefs, of cleaning the mirror of the mind so what is seen can be seen truly. So we're here to clear the mirror of the mind. And then it continued, how does one know if the mirror of the mind has been cleansed of all beliefs? What does one see when looking in the mirror? A world or self? This is how one knows. So what this writing that came this morning is really saying is that if I can look out on the world and see anything at all that is not self, then I am not yet to the knowledge of truth, and therefore I am not done with this path. And it doesn't matter if the body has become healthy. It doesn't matter if I'm now very, very happy. It doesn't even matter if there have been lots of very sincere shifts in seeing that have occurred, which are bringing great clarity that certainly used to not be there. This path is not complete, or awakening is not complete, or knowledge is not known until all I see is self. Until all I see is self. And what this number 202 is saying is basically, do not settle for less than that. Do not settle for a better story. Do not settle for a better dream. It doesn't mean better dreams won't come. In fact, A Course in Miracles actually says we will experience the happy dream or the real world if that is our path, the path of A Course in Miracles, and if we practice in that way. But it's just saying, you know, don't say, okay, that's it, I'm here. That's it, you know, something has been achieved, right? So the script of the world, the personal story, karma, arises because of thought believed and entertained. This process creates a mind fog called illusion. It is self-sustaining, since its story generates thought and thought generates its story. It is also self-proving. So I haven't talked about this part yet, but you know, obviously what this means is, of course we know, at least intellectually, the world is a projection of the mind, but that is forgotten. So something happens in the mind, and you know, I worry about it, or I think about it with grievance, right? I think about it in the mind. The mind is occupied thinking about the mind projection, and the mind projection just continues. And because it's actually coming from the mind, it just continues to prove the mind right. It continues to prove the mind right. So the script of the world, the personal story, karma, arises because of thought believed and entertained. This process creates a mind fog called illusion. It is self-sustaining, since its story generates thought, and thought generates its story. It is also self-proving. One is not free of illusion if one is not free of thought. The self-proving phenomena may create a story that looks like freedom, but it is still the illusion of mind fog. Freedom is beyond thought, and therefore beyond all mind fog. Do not settle for a better story. Story is not reality, and reality is not story. So you're not at truth yet. Don't have the knowledge of truth yet. All right, you can scroll down and click on number 203. I do see, it seems like there are things that have showed up. This morning when I went to go into the journal to type up today's stuff, there was something wrong with the journal and I couldn't type. And now there's these advertisements. So just don't click on any of them at all. And I will see later if I can find out how to get rid of them. But for now, just make sure you don't click on any of these advertisements. My guess is they're not healthy for you. Unless WordPress has decided to start adding advertisements. If so, we'll find out about that, I'm sure. But for now, definitely don't click on them, okay? Okay, so we're ready for number 203. I will paste that link in the room. I don't think I did that yet. I was looking at the advertisement without clicking on it. Advertisements have been on there for weeks. Since I go there often, I've noticed. Oh, really? What's the first time I've seen them today? And I go there often, too. So that's interesting. So I'll have to find out if they're legitimate advertisements, like if WordPress has decided to do that in order to make money, or if it's something else. Oh, I dropped the mic. Thanks for letting me know I dropped the mic. I was just saying that I hadn't noticed the advertisements until today, and I go there a lot, so that's kind of interesting that you've seen them before. I don't know how that happened, but I will have to find out if they're legitimate advertisements, if that's just something that... oh, yeah, Dove still doesn't see them. Okay. If that's just something that WordPress has decided to do, or if this is some kind of a hack, I have to figure that out. So we'll figure that out later. And Lisa says she sees the advertisements. Okay. My joke mind just said, maybe this is how we know if we're awake or not. You know, do you see the advertisements? Yeah. Oh, Dove sees now. Okay, he's awake. He sees the advertisements. Yeah. All right. So we are ready for number 203, and I'm going to read from the book on page 45. While the scholar does not overcome his sense of I am this in the body and its faculties, there is no liberation for him. however much he may be learned or learned in religion and philosophy. So, while the scholar does not overcome his sense of I am this in the body and its faculties, there is no liberation for him, however much he may be learned in religion and philosophy. All right, so let's look at number 203. It's actually kind of a joke if you look at the advertisement, because we're talking about how, you know, being learned is not the same thing as being awake. And at least the advertisement I have on this page says, your brain just got brighter. All right, let's look at number 203 and see what the quote is after contemplation of number 203 in the book. Watch carefully for the sense of I. Am I one with perceptions that are more healed or enlightened than before? Am I one who sees when others don't? If I is identified with this body or this mind's perceptions or abilities in any way, false I still exists and the truth of self has not been realized. So again, if you have been with me as I've been reading over the journal the last several times, we've been in this continuing theme, which I would call a great big giant caution sign against thinking that we are enlightened when we are not. You know, one thing the journal said earlier on is that this false enlightenment, this idea I am enlightened, is like a virus that, you know, someone speaks maybe about the experience of enlightenment and mind not realizing that it can't become enlightened itself, listens to the speaking and stretches to imagine that state of mind, and pretty soon that imagination is actually achieved. You know, I mean, imagine if we can project a whole world through thought, like we just saw in number 202. We can also project a false enlightenment through thought about enlightenment, about the enlightenment experience, right? The imagination. And so what happens is mind stretches through its imagination to achieve this experience of enlightenment, and then it has an experience that really isn't enlightenment. It can only happen without total honesty. It can only happen with some denial in place. But it begins to believe that it is enlightened. And then, of course, it talks about its experience, and other minds listen and stretch, and it's like a virus, false enlightenment. And you can even see how in today's world, you know, with YouTube and Facebook and email and conferences and events all over the place. I mean, we have so much opportunity to communicate. You can see how this virus can spread, actually. And in fact, this is, well, it's one reason, but it might even be the only reason. I'm not aware of any other reason. One reason that I was guided to stop listening and reading right now, and to spend all of my time going within, using the seven steps of awakening, to achieve what I'm going to call authentic seeing. Because if it's just me and me looking and having realizations, the seeing is authentic. You know, there's nobody there for me to copy, you could say. There's nobody there for my mind to listen to and then, you know, stretch in the imagination and see that way. So, anyway, the last several teachings that I've done have been at the end of step one. And this step one seems to be ending by looking at this thought, I am enlightened when I'm not. It's really just a mind enlightenment is what it is. It's a mind enlightenment. And it's given us several tips, if we want them, on how to stay honest, on how to check ourselves and make sure we aren't getting involved in that virus. And number 203 says, watch carefully for the sense of I. look for these thoughts in your own mind. You know, really keep an eye out for these thoughts. Am I one with perceptions that are more healed or enlightened than before? Am I more enlightened than you? Am I more enlightened than I was? Right? If that I is still there, then enlightenment really isn't. Again, there may have been true shifts. There may have been honest shifts. There may be a difference in seeing. But mind wants very much for us to think that enlightenment is here when it's not, because that's actually just another way for ego to get in. Again, you know, we've all heard the term spiritual ego. That's the spiritual ego. The spiritual ego is the ego that thinks it's enlightened. And it keeps ego in place. Am I one who sees when others don't? If I is identified with this body or this mind's perceptions or abilities in any way, false I still exists and truth of self has not been realized. So for those with ears to hear, I will say, because I do know that the one reason the virus can occur is because we are willing to let it occur. In other words, we want to think of ourselves as enlightened. And if we want to think of ourselves as enlightened, we might not be paying very much attention to things like number 203. We might not have the ears to hear because we would rather think of ourselves as enlightened. But if our purpose is not to think of ourselves as enlightened, but our purpose is to realize truth no matter what it is, right? Realize truth no matter what it is, then we might have ears to hear, and we might be very grateful for this check that we are being given to always watch for that eye. And as long as the eye is there, the enlightenment isn't. All right. You can scroll down and click on number 204. And I will give you a link in the room. Again, please do not click on the advertisements. And I am going to read number 204 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Reality can be experienced only with the eye of understanding, not just by a scholar. What the moon is like must be seen with one's own eyes. How can others do it for you? Reality can be experienced only with the eye of understanding, not just by a scholar. What the moon is like must be seen with one's own eyes. How can others do it for you? There's a message in the teachings of Inner Ramana, where Ramana explains that he cannot tell us about self. That trying to tell us about self is like trying to tell a man who was born blind what the color blue is. If the man has never seen color at all, it doesn't matter how you describe it, he cannot understand the color blue. You can tell him that the blue is cooler and that the red is hotter, and that gives him some idea that there's difference, but he cannot imagine blue. Well, that's what this is saying. Reality can be experienced only with the eye of understanding, not just by a scholar. What the moon is like must be seen with one's own eyes. How can others do it for you? And this is interesting because it's reminding me of a commitment that I've made this year as a part of the Seven Steps practice. And the commitment is that I am not trading belief for belief. And in fact, you saw a little of that again in this morning's post about that's not what we're here for, to trade belief for belief. I am not here to believe that the world is not real. I am not here to believe that I am eternal self, not Regina. I'm not here to believe anything. I actually have quit believing. I've quit that game. I'm here to see for myself. And since I have made that commitment, since I've made that choice, a pretty interesting inquiry has started in my own process, and I'm going through that inquiry. And in the beginning, I attempted to share that inquiry, but now it really seems that I can't. I mean, I can share it in teaching when we get to that point, because then I can talk about it. But it doesn't. I can't really share it by like posting it in Facebook anymore, because the inquiry is so involved. No single post can be taken without taking it also into account the 50 before it and the 50 after it, because they all go together. It's like it's a very deep inquiry. But this deep inquiry is helping me to look and see for myself. And it's much different than reading from a book or hearing from the teacher and then choosing to believe what is being said. So you could say that I am one who wants to see the moon for myself, or I want to see the color blue for myself, or I heard the analogy one time of tasting the watermelon for myself. And I have decided I will not settle for less. All right, let's go to number 204 in the journal. Awakening is a process of self-realization. Therefore, awakening involves delving deep into oneself, deep into the mind and heart, searching the bottomless, clear waters for a realization that cannot be taught or given by another. It must be realized for oneself. Spend time alone in heart-guided search. Let the world go and dive deep into the unknown waters. You will not reach bottom, but you will see and understand. And then the peace that comes from knowing dawns. It's interesting that it says we will not reach bottom. And how could you reach bottom of something eternal and limitless? But we will see and understand. And when the seeing and the understanding comes, that's when the peace of God, the peace that passeth understanding, the peace that is also called self-knowledge, dawns. All right, that's all I have to say about that. So let's scroll down and click on number 205. And I'm posting the link in the room. All right. Number 205 in the Seven Steps to Awakening says, speech alone, even a deluge of words, with scholarship and skill in commenting on the scriptures, may achieve some personal satisfaction, but not liberation. Again, speech alone, even a deluge of words, with scholarship and skill in commenting on the scriptures, may achieve some personal satisfaction, but not liberation. All right, let's look at number 205. Again, please do not click on the advertisements. And I'm just, of course, saying that for new people who show up, in case they don't know yet. Number 205 in the journal says, to study and discuss is not to even step in the pool of self-discovery. If one will not go into the pool in focused investigation, how can one discover what the waters of self teach? One must abandon study and dive deep into the self with nothing but intuition as guide. Whew. That whoof came from the humongous flutter in my heart. This is so true. I mean, I don't know how to express this. What's interesting about the inquiry that I'm in now is that I never know where it's going. You know, in the Course in Miracles community, which is us, we're very lucky because we have the term Holy Spirit. The other community that I'm starting to become more involved in now, I think they consider themselves more the Advaita community. They don't seem to have such a concept At least it's not as clear there. And it's a very helpful concept, actually, used appropriately. Because if you are totally identified with the thinking mind as who you are, then there might be this idea that you are supposed to come up with the investigation, come up with the inquiry, come up with the questions, that you have to think of the questions, you have to think of the direction the inquiry should go, you have to be smart enough to figure the questions out, or you have to find somebody else who figured the questions out and copy their questions, but you have to do it. And the advantage of having a concept like a Holy Spirit is that it teaches us that it actually isn't us that leads the inquiry. It isn't us that asks the questions. It isn't us that provides the realizations, that this is all coming from something beyond us, us still being the one identified with the thinking mind. And that is helpful because that is true. I'm not certain why there isn't a concept like a Holy Spirit strongly in the Advaita community. I'm not sure why. But when an idea like that is missing, then again, sometimes there's the idea that I'm the one that does this. Again, that I being the false I or the I identified with the thinking mind. My experience is, as I practice this contemplation, the way that Michael Langford has asked us to do it with the 7 steps to awakening, the questions form themselves without coming from the I identified with mind. All I do is read the quote, and then I just pause with it. I just sit with it. I don't think about it. I just pause in it. I pause is what I do. And then if the thinking, because the thinking always starts up again with me. When the thinking starts up, I read the quote again. And then I pause for as long as that pause lasts. And then when the thinking starts up, I read the quote again. And then somehow, even though thinking is not being permitted, and I want very much to describe this for people who don't know the feel of it, but I honestly don't know that I can. But I will do my best. Even though thinking is not being permitted, thought begins to arise. And it's thought that's not coming from the thinking. It has a different feel. And in my experience, it starts coming by a word or two at a time. I don't know what point it's going to make. I don't know where it's going. And that's why I always do this work in writing, because this is what benefits me. And I begin to write, and the questions get asked. The inquiry asks its own questions, is the way I would word it if I was talking to Advaita people, and I could not use the word Holy Spirit. I would say the inquiry asks the questions. And then when the inquiry asks the questions, it also provides a scene of the answers. I don't then have to effort the scene. As soon as the question comes, the scene is miraculously apparent. So if the mind is asking the question, for example, are you attention? Well, maybe this is something I've never looked at before, I've never thought of before. But as soon as it says, are you attention, something in me realizes, no, I'm not attention, because I can see attention. I can decide I don't like where attention is, and I can redirect attention. And if I can do that, then I'm not attention. Attention is an object that I can move around, but I am not attention. And that maybe was never seen before, never even thought about before, but the question comes and then the answer also comes. And I'm just the witness somehow. So all of that came up because of the end of number 205, where it says, one must abandon study, and it really was the last half of this sentence, and dive deep into the self with nothing but intuition as guide. In other words, you're not supposed to know what you're doing. You're just supposed to show up with willingness and let intuition guide you. And, you know, your experience may be different than mine. You know, you may have an experience of being, of feeling intuitively to pick up a particular book and open it randomly and read for a little bit. And then you may feel intuitively to put that down and pick up another book and open it randomly and read for a little bit. And then you may feel to put that down and go back to the first book and then put that down and pick up this book and open this book to page 38. And, you know, you may be guided through some kind of a random reading, but somehow, even though it shouldn't make sense because it's a bunch of different books and you just open them randomly for the most part, it all makes sense. It all fits together like someone is sitting there having a conversation with you and teaching you something and helping you to see. And there's a scene that's occurring in you, right? Maybe your experience is different. It's not that the experience has to be in a certain form. The experience will come to you in whatever way you can accept it, that you can be moved by it, that you can see with it, that you can be reached with it. But the point is to let the experience come by not trying to be in charge yourself, by not knowing what you are to do, by letting nothing but intuition guide you. So to study and discuss is not even, to study and discuss is not to even, okay, to study and discuss is not to even step in the pool of self-discovery. So when we're at that intellectual level, we haven't even stuck our toe in the water yet of discovering who we are, not really. If one will not go into the pool in focused investigation, how can one discover what the waters of self teach? We have to let the self lead the realizing. One must abandon study and dive deep into the self with nothing but intuition as guide. And sure, you do not know how to do that, and that's perfect. You shouldn't know how to do that. All right, let's scroll down and click on number 206 on the left. And I'm giving you a link to number 206 in the room. And now I'm going to read number 206 from The Seven Steps to Awakening. The tangle of words is a great forest which leads the mind off, wandering about. So wise men should strive to get to know the truth about their own nature. Hold on 1 second, I need a drink. I have here a diet strawberry limeade from Sonic. And in my opinion, they don't make much better drinks than this one. Okay. The tangle of words is a great forest which leads the mind off wandering about. So wise men should strive to get to know the truth about their own nature. All right, let's look at number 206 in the journal. Hear me well. The answer is within. If you want to know, use time to look there. That's pretty clear. You know, instead of this tangle of words that is a great forest which leads the mind off wandering about, instead of that, sit with yourself in whatever way you are guided to sit with yourself. Don't think that sitting with yourself has to look a certain way. Don't think it has to be journaling or it has to be guided reading or that it has to be, you know, om meditation or anything else. Let even intuition tell you what your sitting with yourself looks like. Just be willing to sit with yourself. And to be honest, I would say every day. One thing I've learned to like are my own initials, RDA. Because RDA means recommended daily allowance. And what that says to me is I need to take that time daily to go in and be with self. RDA. Hear me well. The answer is within. If you want to know, use time to look there. And let it happen in whatever way it's going to happen. Trust. It's a miraculous unfolding. All right, let's scroll down and click on number 207. And here is a link to number 207, and I'm going to read number 207 from the top of page 46 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. This is the last page of step one. In the silence is the highest peace, because wavering is the intellect's unreal work. There, the knowers of the eternal, mighty-souled, enjoy unbroken happiness of partless bliss, recognizing the self as the eternal. In the silence is the highest peace, because wavering is the intellect's unreal work. There, the knowers of the eternal, mighty-souled, enjoy unbroken happiness of partless bliss, recognizing the self as the eternal. All right, let's look at number 207 in the journal. The highest mental state, the one mind calls achievement, is not that which is awakening to pure source, that which is before mind. Pure source is limitless and unchanging, silent and ever-present. Mind's highest state, when looked at honestly with the characteristics of source used as criteria, reveals itself to be only mind. It is limited to a personal perspective. Different experiences arise and fall away within it. There are thoughts. Although the ever-present quality is present, that which is not ever-present is also known. Do not be afraid of this self-test. It is most helpful to be honest and not to delude yourself. So again, we're on the topic of thinking that we are enlightened. Thinking is the key word here. Thinking that we are enlightened. And first of all, in the second sentence of the first paragraph, we're given some criteria which describe what cannot be described, pure source. And the criteria is limitless, unchanging, silent, and ever-present. And I think most of us would not argue with those criteria. Limitless, unchanging, silent, and ever-present. So to know that fully is to know source. But the quote said, in the silence is the highest peace, because wavering is the intellect's unreal work. That's what I'm calling the false enlightenment here, the intellect's unreal work, the mind's thinking it's enlightened, right? This is what's being referred to in the journal in number 207 as mind's highest state. Mind's highest state is thinking it is enlightened. It's a very high state. But it is not what it professes to be. And if it's looked at with these criteria of source, limitless, unchanging, silent, and ever-present, even that highest state, which is also a very high form of denial, can be seen to be not true. First of all, mind's highest state. It doesn't matter how enlightened mind thinks it is. Mind always still sees from a personal perspective. Mind cannot go beyond that. So again, if I am the enlightened one, if I am more enlightened than you, right? It has to be the mind's enlightenment rather than true awakening. True awakening is not limited to a personal perspective. Pure source is unchanging. In mind's highest experience, there still are different experiences. It's often described as different experiences arise and fall away. Anger arises and falls away. Jealousy arises and falls away. A giggle arises and falls away. But that's the experience that we all have with mind. We just maybe didn't look at it that way. But we've all had these things arise and fall away. That's what mind does. Mind gets angry, then mind feels guilty, then mind becomes happy, then mind gets jealous, then mind gets angry, then mind gets frustrated, then mind gets scared, then mind gets worried. It arises and falls away, but that's mind. That is not unchanging. Another way that we can tell that it's mind's highest state is that there are still thoughts. There are always thoughts with mind. In fact, mind and thoughts are synonymous. But the criteria for pure source is silent. And there is a difference between silent and still thoughts. Often we get the idea nowadays that the mind can be just, yeah, 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 yeah. But somehow if we are convincing ourselves that we're not listening to it, then we can also convince ourselves that we're enlightened. But probably if the mind is still going, yeah, 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 we're still listening to it at least somewhat. So that's why I say convincing ourselves that we're not listening to it. We convince ourselves because we want so much to see ourselves as enlightened. The pure source is silent. And although the ever-present quality is present, because it's always present, even with, you know, if you wanted to pick out some poor guy and say he's the most unenlightened person on the planet Earth, even he has the ever-present quality. He might not be aware of it, but it is always here. It is always here. So although the ever-present quality is present, which means there is some awareness of it being here has come, that which is not ever-present is also known, which is still being distracted by thoughts, still seeing, you know, someone that I think is not me, my boyfriend in the moment that I'm frustrated with him. It's not me, right? It may arise and fall, but there's still that moment when he's that boyfriend that I'm frustrated with and he is not me. Therefore, something that is not ever present is also known. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. I love that this journal has given me such, I'm going to call it strict criteria for awakening. And the reason for that is very simple. It's because I do not have any heart desire to see myself as enlightened, especially when it's nothing but a self-lie. And I do know that this is a grand temptation, not only in my mind, but maybe in all of our minds. And I do know that a lot of the talk that is in our spiritual community actually encourages seeing ourselves as enlightened. In fact, sometimes the talk seems to imply that if we don't see ourselves as enlightened, there's something wrong with us. But when I sit over there alone without all of that talk, and I go within, my within, my within keeps making it very clear the difference between mind achievement and awakening. And it asks me to keep checking myself against these criteria so that I don't begin to see myself as or think myself as enlightened when it's actually only mind achievement. And I'm grateful for that. Even if I'm the only one. So the highest mental state, the one mind calls achievement, is not that which is awakening to pure source. They're not the same thing. It's not awakening to that which is before mind. Pure source is limitless and unchanging, silent and ever-present. Mind's highest state, when looked at honestly with the characteristics of source used as criteria, reveals itself to be only mind. It is limited to a personal perspective. Different experiences arise and fall away within it. There are thoughts. Although the ever-present quality is present, that which is not ever-present is also known. And in the very last line, do not be afraid of this self-test. And if you guys are anything like me, at all, and maybe some of you are and maybe some of you aren't on this one. If you're anything like me, you do see that thought in the mind that wants you to see yourself as enlightened. And it does not want to accept the self-test. Because if it accepts the self-test, then that image of me as enlightened, well, it just won't stand. It can't pass the test. So it doesn't want this test. It wants to look away. It wants to not see it, deny it. But that's just mind too. It's the heart that provided the test. And it's the heart that wants to follow the test. And it's the heart that says, you know, I don't care how much time it takes to see, to know truth fully, without delusion. But I'm willing to take that time. After all, as A Course in Miracles says, that is what time was made for. Again, it's the mind that wants to rush off to become enlightened and see itself as enlightened. And that, by the way, is nothing but another masterful means of denial. So do not be afraid of this self-test. It is most helpful to be honest and not to delude yourself. Especially if your purpose is to know truth. Right? Deluding yourself is not helpful. So that's number 208. Tomorrow we will begin with 209. The very last quote in step one is 213. So you never know what's going to happen, but there's a good chance that we will finish step one tomorrow and begin step two by next Sunday night. So that's it. I'll look into the advertisements, see what I can figure out. And I just want to thank you guys for spending this time with me. It really is helpful to me to teach this stuff. And it's a great gift that you give to me, showing up and letting me talk. All right. Good night.